Lydia found a great article, Brian Tracy in the Network Marketing Times, about the value of mentors, and we've talked about this in the past, and I just think it's so critical. And the other reason I was excited about talking about it is because a lot of you are heading on your way to manifest, and I want to try to prepare you for manifest in the right way. Some of you are brand new in Manitech, some of you have been around for a number of years, and some of you are still we're suffering from the what do we want to call it? We have to come up with a syndrome, something around 2007 syndrome, post-2007 syndrome or whatever. And I want you to break free of that. I want you to release it and look forward to a better year at 2008 that's going to be great. And one of the things that as you go into manifest, for those of you who are going, and for those who are not, this talk is just as crucial, but as you go into manifest, you're going to be heading into an environment where you're going to have 200, 300, 400 presidentials running around, and you're going to have an incredible environment where you can find people that are more trained, more experienced, have perhaps better habits, a better understanding of how this business works. And so if the business hasn't been working for you, here is a phenomenal opportunity to be amidst a group of people that have a lot that they can contribute into you as mentors. And so that's one of the main things I thought, you know, teaching the value of mentors and how to build mentoring relationships is crucial for a lot of you as you go into this incredible environment in the next 10 days of being at Manifest. And being able to be a part of an environment where you have a phenomenal amount of people that can serve as mentors to you, and how to best set that relationship up and how to get the most out of it. So let's talk about that today. First of all, what is mentoring? And Benjamin Franklin had a great quote. He said, there are two ways to acquire wisdom. You can either buy it or you can borrow it. And I thought that was kind of cute. Not that I totally agree with that. I'd take another direction in some of it. But I think his statement is directive to us in terms of we can either make a huge investment, go to school and invest in training courses and put a ton of dollars and time and energy around it in terms of acquiring the wisdom that we want and the training that we want and the skills that we want. Or on the other hand, we can go out and borrow it. And mentoring is what he calls borrowing it. Mentoring is borrowing it. It's a way to accelerate our growth at little or no cost. In other words, we're not paying people, and we're not buying an educational course. We're really tapping into people that have tremendous amount of background and knowledge, and people that we respect and honor in the business arena or in whatever arena where we're desiring to grow. And we're tapping into those people who are ahead of us in either personal or professional arena, and opening ourselves up to get their input, their advice, and their guidance. And that's what mentoring is about. It's about finding those people. And some people look at the Monday call as a mentoring call. And without doing one-on-one with Mary Jo, you get to tap into a lot of resources that help you grow. And that's terrific. But you want to have, you know, a group of mentors in your life. And if you want to look at how critical mentoring is, I just started digging through some of my books on my bookshelf last night just to kind of see how many people talk about mentoring. And every single one I took off my shelf talked about mentoring or masterminding or something of that effect. So I just started writing them down, and then I quit because I said, Mary Jo, you could just give them a copy of your entire library, which is massive. I mean, probably almost 2,000 volumes at this point. But every single one of the books, The Slight Edge by Jeff Olson, The Living with Passion, Peter Hirsch, Think and Grow Rich, Master Prospectors, Power of Focus, every single one of these books, every single one, as I took them off and I started looking up and trying to, you know, flip through them to see what they said about mentoring or masterminding or relationship, every single one of them, every one of them talks about the critical importance of building relationships with people that are ahead of you in their growth process, in their knowledge, in their wisdom, and you build a relationship with them to have them be a mentor to you. So it's not about Mary Jo. It's not about, you know, you heard mentoring in the past. It's truly about accepting the fact that a mentoring relationship can catapult you into a whole new arena and put you at a level that you really want to be in order to accelerate your growth. And why is it that we don't find mentors? not to step into mentoring relationships? Somebody give me some response to that. Get yourself off mute and tell me. Because there are a lot of you on this call today that don't have a mentor, and I want you to tell me why you don't have a mentor. I need some contribution. Everybody's going, I'm not admitting why I don't have a mentor, Mary Jo. You don't have to announce your name. You can just throw it out there. Anyone?
Probably, Mary Jo, it might be because with me, I don't know what questions to ask. I'm so new.
Okay, great. You don't know what questions to ask. Great, great. Yeah, so you sit back and you, instead of interacting with somebody, you just kind of stay calm and quiet because, but when you don't know what questions to ask, that typically tells me what? It tells me that you have a inherent fear of looking bad or looking silly or looking stupid. Some people say all those terminology. Would that make some sense?
Yeah.
You don't want to look silly.
Yeah.
Okay, got it? Great.
Everybody else sounds so smart about it.
Yeah, exactly. You know, everybody else is so smart, and I don't want to look silly, Mary Jo. And, you know, that is definitely one of the reasons what holds people back, because they feel like, oh, my gosh, if I ask them that question, I'm going to look stupid, and I don't want to look stupid, so I'm not going to ask them the question. Well, how do you see that? Do you see what kind of treadmill you're on? You know?
Right, because you keep thinking that you'll just hear the answer.
Yeah, well, and you're going to stay in being silly and stupid. You know, it's kind of like, no, I'd rather stay where I am rather than ask a question because I might look stupid and then they're going to think I'm stupid, but I'd rather just stay in the unknowing world instead of pushing myself out. It's a risk you have to be willing to take.
Right.
You don't care if you, you know, a lot of my trainings I go to, one of the first things I say in a training I go to or give, I say, there is no such thing as a silly or a stupid question, okay? This is what I say when I go do area meetings and all of that. Every Saturday morning, the first thing I kick off with, I go, you know, this training is about one thing only, and it's about your growth. It's about getting you the answers you need. So you need to be asking me questions all day long. So don't, and I said, some of you don't want to raise your hand. You're afraid you're going to look silly. I said, there's only one thing silly or stupid about putting out a question, and that is if you don't ask them, that's what's silly and stupid, because there's no such thing as a silly or stupid question, because if you have the question, you need the answer to it. Does that make sense? I don't care what it is. It doesn't matter. It can be, Mary Jo, how do you spell Phytolo? Okay, I can kind of help you try to figure that out without asking me. But, I mean, you know, you need a question answered, get it asked, and go pursue the answer. And I'll help you today in this call with how you can get more focus and clarity around what questions you need to ask, and that's going to help you grow in the right areas. But, yeah. You got to release the fear of looking silly and the fear of looking stupid. We have fears around that. We also have fears of rejection. We have a fear that somebody won't want to answer us. And, you know, if you walk up to a presidential at Manifest and they don't, I mean, I want you to report back to me. I want to hear about presidentials who shut you down, because I know they have this concept of platinum presidentials, but I believe in my heart of hearts that every single presidential should pour out and contribute to each and every one of you, no matter whether you're in their organization or not. I mean, if you go up and ask a presidential at Manitech a question, they should feel inherently an obligation to respond to you, because they're leaders, and leaders are about contribution. Leaders are to support you. We're there to support this company. It's not about us. So, you know, if you have that shutdown, if somebody shuts you down, boy, not that I'm some police officer out there policing presidentials by any means, but I'd sure like to hear about it, because, you know, that would be somebody I would approach personally. I wouldn't use your name, but I would, you know, open the doors to communication on, you know, what is this about your approach to Manitech? Because it's not our culture. Our culture is one of love and empathy and compassion and giving. And that go-giver spirit is about, no matter who you are and what organization you're in, we're there to give and pour into you. Okay, so again, thanks for the contribution and telling us, but there are a lot of reasons why we don't go out and get mentors. We don't want to look bad. We're afraid we're going to be silly. We don't know what the right questions are. We're not sure of ourselves. We're not even sure where we need to grow. We don't have it defined on what we need to know. We don't have a definition of it. We don't have clarity around it. There's all sorts of things that cause this. Some of us are lone soldiers. We have this concept, if it's going to be, it's up to me. You know, I've read that over and over again, and I keep going, that whole statement kind of turns me off, because no question, we need to take action as human beings. We need to take action. And if we don't take action, we're not going to create anything. But the important part is that we're much better off taking action with others than taking action alone. Because if we take action alone, we're lone soldiers, and then we can only be as good as our own limitations. When I take action with others, when I put myself on a team, when I put myself in a mastermind group, when I put myself in a mentoring relationship, now I can take action and I can get the benefit of the synergy involved in multiple sources, in multiple feedback. I get the incredible involvement of groups of people that have, you know, talents that I don't have. And why wouldn't I want to tap into that? I mean, it's kind of like, you know, we'll go from a spiritual side of it. I taught yesterday in the women's class at my church, and I talked about why would you ever, it amazes me when people start going, I can't, or I don't have the, I'm not equipped to do that, or I don't have the abilities, or we go into this, I don't, I can't, I'm not able, I don't have the background, I don't have the wherewithal, I don't have the knowledge, and if you read scripture and it says through anything is possible through God, anything is possible. So why wouldn't you want to tap into that unlimited resource? And why are we looking at ourselves and our own inadequacies and our own ability? I don't want to focus on Mary Jo. I want to focus on what God can do for me in my life and in the lives of others. And now there's no limitation. Now the world is at my feet because anything is possible through him. So I don't operate from my own limitations. And that's where we need to come from. We need to start looking at the greatness of what's out there, working with other people, other entities, other groups, other teams, and creating the greatness that's around us to be created. So if it's going to be, it's up to me, is correct, but it's up to me to build the relationships with people who are going to create the synergy in my life that's going to create far greater things than I could ever do by myself. How's that? For redefining, if it's going to be, it's up to me. So mentoring, critically important. I wouldn't go, in my life without mentoring. I have a mastermind group. I have a side coach. I mean, I believe that we need those kind of people in our lives to keep us on track, in focus, directed, so that it's not all about us. And you want to build that in your life, and you'll see how incredibly, how incredibly stronger that the whole growth that you go through, personal, financial, spiritual, all of that, and you want those kind of mentoring relationships across the board. You want to have people that you can mentor with in a spiritual realm. You want to have people that you mentor with in your financial, you mentor with in your business, all of these different areas. You can even have mentoring relationships from a family perspective. If you're a brand new parent, how to raise kids. I mean, how do you know how to raise children? You only know one thing. You know what you did when your parents raised you. Well, they probably made 100 mistakes. I mean, 1,000. Who knows how many? We all make mistakes. So where do you find can you find the mentoring? Sure, you can go to your church. You can go to your community. You can go to your next-door neighbor. You can get advice from other people around things to do. When you try to solo it because you think you're going to be the best parent in the world, that's your first and most critical mistake you ever make because you're locking out all the sources of information that could potentially give you incredible growth in the area and give you all the experiences in the world without ever having experienced it. And that's the beauty of tapping into people that have more experience than you have, that are ahead of you in their professional or their personal arena. So how do you choose a mentor? How do we make choices? Are there two vital qualities necessary in your mentors, in your mentoring relationship? One is character. And, of course, you want to find people with top-notch character. And you've got to look at what are the values that I most admire and respect. In other words, what are the things I want most in the mentoring relationship I have? So intelligence, integrity, judgment, wisdom. I listed a few in the outline for you, which I think are critical: intelligence, integrity, judgment, wisdom. You might want to look at their spiritual background. There might be some other things that you want to apply in there that are critically important to you, because you want to make sure that your whatever leadership that you're putting in your life is something that's led by the same, kind of religious inclination or background or spiritual guidance that you have in your direction you have in your life. But make a list of what those most critical values are, and help that will help you define the mentor that you're looking for, because you have to have an idea of what kind of qualities you're looking for in a person's character. You don't want to just take anyone just because they're ahead of you in the career path, because there are a lot of people that are ahead in career paths that may not have much integrity. And the reason they're ahead is that they have stepped on people all the way, and that's why they got there. So you want to really isolate and say, who do I really respect in Manatech, or in my spiritual walk, or in my family walk, or in, my intellectual challenges that I'm having, and my professional career, and if I'm going to write a book, who do I respect in the authorship area? Who would be a great person to work with in that regard? Just pick and choose. You want to look at character, because you want to have consistency of character, because nothing worse than being let down, 2 months into a process because the person has no integrity. So the other thing you look for in a mentor is competency, because, of course, if you're going to get mentored by somebody, make sure it's somebody who has a level of competency that you trust. So they have more knowledge, more skills, more abilities that's going to be able to help you move ahead. So that's what you're looking for. You just want to look for that knowledge, skills, and abilities. And a lot of times that's evidenced by how far they've, what they've achieved in their life, what kind of, how many years they've been in it, how many experiences that they've had. But again, you can't always, I went out and one of my people had me meet with a guy out in San Diego. His name was Vitamin Larry. And I met with this guy because he had been in network marketing and made $100,000 a month. And that's a pretty significant amount of change to grow into. Well, I sat down and met with him, and I found out that it really didn't have a lot to do with his ability or his leadership or his motivational style. It had to do with hitting a company at the right time and finding a couple of the right people with a marketing tool that just worked. And he really wasn't what I would never look at him as a mentor in the network marketing industry, because he really didn't have anything magical except he just got lucky. You got the difference? So it's not always about somebody who's gotten ahead, because you got to make sure that it's not somebody who just got lucky. Or there are other people that go out and they hire people to grow their network marketing business. And you got to be really aware of that, too. I mean, there are people in Manatech that have done that. They've actually hired somebody to grow their Manatech business. Well, and there are professionals out there that you can hire. You pay a lot of money to them, and they grow your network marketing business. Well, I don't want that person to be a mentor of mine, because they didn't do it themselves. They didn't go through the ropes and grow it themselves. They didn't have the experiences we have. They didn't, and that's where so much of the growth takes place, is in all of those experiences. Otherwise, they're teaching me out of a book or out of what somebody else did with no true experiences on their own. They don't have that, and it's hard for me to respect people in that arena if they didn't have some experiences around what I'm going through so that I can relate to them in a more formidable fashion. So again, look for not just whether they're, whether they're successful in it, but how did they get there, to make sure that you're getting the right people around you. The other factors you have to take into account in choosing a mentor for you is you must be open to be influenced by another in your life. We have people that are educable and people that are not. And if you're defensive and you're not open to receive and you're not willing to hear other people's opinions on things and be able to take them in with a blank slate, in other words, you're not a good listener, then I'm going to tell you, don't waste your time going and getting a mentor. You want to maybe first work on your listening skills and your openness to receive before you go and get a mentor relationship. I mean, there were times in my life, no mentor would have worked, because I was a horrible listener for years. And it was just because I had to be right, I had to be in control. I had plenty of programs running my life and belief systems that were just shutting me down from growing in areas that weren't consistent with where my belief structure was. And it wasn't until I went through a lot of self-development around my own listening skills that I was able to become humble enough to say, wait a minute, everybody on the face of the earth has something to offer me, because they've all had different experiences. Now I could open myself up to hear. I could open myself up to receive. I could open myself up to grow and learn from people around me. and what a huge difference that has made in my life, as it can in yours. But I also acknowledge that if you're not there, if you're not a good listener and you're the world, then you're going to have a very hard time with a mentor, because the only mentor you're going to find is somebody that believes everything you do. And then how do you grow? And I'm going to tell you, you're going to have a hard time finding that person. And if that's the way you are, you're going to also have a hard time having a sphere of influence, with because you're painting this picture of everything being black and white. So look at yourself and do some self-examination and see whether you're able to, as Stephen Covey would put it, seek first to understand. You want to be able to seek first to understand and take in all that you can. If you can't do that, you're not going to grow in a mentoring relationship. And the third factor is the mentor must be willing to help you in every way possible to achieve your goals. So you want to find people who are willing. You want to find people that are open and willing to pour into you because they have a core value of contribution. So look for those kind of people, and those are the people you want to surround yourself with in mentoring relationships, because they're the ones that will truly have a heart and passion for your success. And that helps in a mentoring relationship because they take some ownership interest in the results you create. They know that they can't control them, but they are very tied to producing results in your life as well. And now we can just run through the 12 steps for building a successful mentor relationship. Number one, set clear, SMART goals in every area of life. SMART being specific, measurable, attainable, risky, and timely. And for those who don't understand SMART goals, go back to the goal setting trainings that I do in December. I do every year. I've done, you know, back-to-back-to-back weeks of goal setting. And just go back and look at those and look at what SMART means, specific, and then start looking at every area of your life and defining what are your goals. You have to have a direction in your life before you're ever going to get there. Otherwise, you'll get exactly where you're non-directed, nowhere. I mean, you just can't be a meandering general. I mean, I guess you can. I don't want to tell you you can't be. You can choose to be a meandering generality in your life. But your choice, a better choice, is to be a meaningful specific. So to be a meaningful specific, to create greatness around you, what you want to do is you want to get very defined and get some clarity about what that's going to look like. What does the picture look like for you 12 months from now, 2 years from now, 5 years from now? Start getting that picture, some clarity around that picture. And you need to set those goals. And that's what you need to do around manifest. For those of you going to manifest, set some goals for yourself, for your own business, for your own life, especially around your Manatech business, because you're going to be around all those Manatech people, those potential mentors of yours. So have some real clarity of what you want to create. I have people that come up and ask me questions, and they go, well, I don't know, Mary Jo, I'm not sure I'm really committed. And I go, well, you know, what do you want me to do? How do you want me to help you? I can't commit for you. You've got to either commit or, you know, I say, you know, I can be a mentor to you around finding your passion, if that's what you're, but then have clarity that you go to a mentor to help you find your passion. You get it? I mean, but have some real clarity about what you want out of those sessions that you have with your mentors. And that means, what are the goals you're having? What are you setting? Your goal might be, I want to find my passion. Great. I want to tell you, there's going to be at least 20 people I can name off the top of my head that can help you find your passion at Manifest. Just thinking of some of the presidentials that I know and the trainings that they've been through. And I mean, and so maybe that's what you pursue. I don't know what that is for you, but you've got to have total clarity about your goals. Otherwise, you're going to stay stuck. So focus and clarity is a foundation for a good mentoring relationship. So for those of you who sit back and say, I don't know that I'd ask the right questions, then I'm going to suggest sit down and work out some goals for yourself, and that'll help formulate questions for you. And then you can go and talk to maybe the person who introduced you to Manatech and say, hey, these are the kind of questions I want to ask. I even did that 1 year with my people. I said, everybody going to Manifest, I want you to come up with a list of at least five questions. And if you want me to review them before you show up at Manifest, send me an email. I'll look at them and I'll send you some feedback. But I want you to take those five questions and I want you to talk to at least five different presidentials while you're at Manifest and ask them those questions. I did the same kind of thing on the boat when we had people who won the cruise. I said, hey, we played baseball around it. We had different questions on every base, and they had to go and ask presidentials. And a lot of those people had a blast doing that. And I rewarded everybody who did it by buying them dinner on the boat. Some of you say, Mary Jo, the food's free on the boat. Well, not this dining room. This dining room was one of those specialty dining rooms where you have to pay an upcharge on it. But it was just a wonderful session to get people to go out and interact with people that they need to build as mentoring relationship. So that's a way to force yourself to do it, is come up with five questions that you have to ask at least five presidentials. And do that in the next 10 days so you're ready. But again, clarity and focus about your goals so that you can come up with good questions. Number two, here's another thing that you need to do. So first of all, clarity about and focus about your goals. Number two is determine what you'll need to achieve your goals in each category, manatech, self-development, spiritual, whatever it is, because your goals should be in all categories. Again, preparing you for manifest, for a group of potential mentors there, you can aim towards your manatech goals. You need to know what you need in order to achieve your goals, the obstacles that you'll have to overcome. You need to dig deep and find those in yourself. The roadblocks that you'll have to surmount, knows you might get every day, your own belief system, waffling that you do on whether it's going to work or not and all that. You know, look at all those things and know the obstacles. Okay, so that's two. Number three, identify the areas of knowledge, skill, expertise necessary to overcome your obstacles. In other words, if you don't believe in yourself as a leader, that you can't motivate people, then you need to find a leadership expert. If you don't know how to share with other people, you don't know how to open up and share, what to say when you're breaking the ice, then you want to find presidentials who have done trainings on how to share, how to ask questions. You know, there are plenty of those presidentials out there that love that prospecting realm. If you are short on product special, you know, product knowledge, then you want to go and talk to people who are product specialists. Joyce Oliveto, and you get Dr. Nugent, you got a bunch of people out there that really look at themselves as, you know, ingrained. Dr. Marcia Smith, there are a lot of medical professionals that will be there, and maybe you want to spend some time with them. But have that direction and your questions outlined of where are my obstacles, right? And what areas are the obstacles I have? Number four, search the most successful people in the areas of needs. And that's what you do. You can define that. If you have problems with those, you can ask your upline, who's going to be best for me to talk to at Manifest with these kind of concerns I have. Boom, they can give you some direction. Because a lot of us know a lot of the talents, especially since we've been in Manatech for 8, 10 years, some people 15 years, you know. Five, join organizations, clubs, foundations, associations where these people belong. This would be outside independent of going to Manifest, but if you're looking for spiritual growth, where are you going to find it? You know, you got to look at where do these people hang. If you want some real great business advice, maybe you start joining a Lions Club or Kiwanis Club or other people where successful businessmen go. If you want speaking skills, maybe you go to Toastmasters Club where you're going to have people that have great speaking skills and people that are learning, so you can be in a group of that and have that synergy in that group. So you're joining clubs and organizations and foundations, associations where these people exist. You just get involved. When you join these organizations, what's the next thing you do? Number six, you volunteer for responsibilities. You step up to the plate. You just make yourself very visible in these organizations because people notice that. People who are constantly go-getters and volunteers and they're go-givers as well because they're in a lot of these organizations are volunteer services. You're going to draw a lot of attention to you, and that's going to make people in the group recognize you and acknowledge you. Number seven, work, study, practice continually to consistently improve for mentors to look to you that you know, you're up and coming in your area. So they start acknowledging you. They start recognizing talents. They see you're driven. If you're lazy and you sit in the back of the room and drink their free drinks and then go home and just show up for the food and drink, mentors aren't going to look at you as somebody that's an up-and-coming person. You've got to exert the energy that they look at you and they can acknowledge you as somebody. And you can show that by your spark, by your enthusiasm and your passion for what you want to accomplish in life. But you also show it by your energy when you're a member of these different groups and how you show up in those groups. Once you locate a possible mentor, don't be overbearing. When you go to Manifest, don't go up and say, would you mind having weekly calls with me for 2 hours every Monday? Because these guys are busy people. They're all busy people. If you came up and asked me to do that, as much as I would love to say yes to you, I wouldn't be able to do it because my schedule's so outrageous. If you're in my organization, I would set you up on coaching calls. If you weren't in my organization, I would probably sit down with you at Manifest and say, give me your map. Give me your outline. What's your strategy? What's your plan? I mean, those would be some of the questions I would ask you, and I would spend that 15 minutes with you at Manifest, and then I'd say, you know, if you want to drop me an email once a week, great. But I said, but you got to have a definition. I don't work with people that don't get definition to their lives and their direction, because you need a blueprint, you're not going to create the building. You need the blueprint. So, but you want to take people, when you find a potential mentor, you want to just ask them for 10 or 15 minutes. Okay, do you have 10 minutes or 15 minutes here or there or whatever? I do that with a lot of people, and I know others do as well. I mean, it's about pouring into people. But recognize them for being busy, and don't be overbearing with a potential mentor. When meeting with your mentor, express your eagerness to be more successful in your field so that they see your passion and your eagerness. Don't come with a mentor and go, oh, I'm totally depressed. I don't know if this is going to work. I'm just like, what are you trying to promote there? Mentors are anxious to help people succeed. If you're totally depressed about your man, maybe you need to go with the person that enrolled you or find a group of people around you in your immediate, but that's not what you bring to a mentoring relationship. A mentoring relationship is a how-to relationship. It's how growing in skills and expertise that you need to get to another level because you have an aspiration to get there. If you have no aspiration to get there, then what do you need a mentor for? So you want to be careful that you're not coming across with the negativity. You want to come across with positive. I guarantee you the Manatech presidentials are not going to really want to hear about your woes of 2007 because I don't know very many that didn't suffer a 10 times multiple to what you suffered in 2007. I mean, they're all looking for a better future. So they're about positive and what does 2008 going to bring all of us. They're all gangbusters about creating something different than what we went through in 2007. So you want to come with that same attitude. They don't want to hear about your woes of last year because we all had them. We all suffered through them. After you meet with your mentor, okay, when you meet with your mentor, you know, in addition to that, you want to ask for guidance to get ahead. Also, you can ask for what tools they used. I think a great question is if you have an area about how to share with people, you can say, how did you learn to share with other people? What were the tools that were most impactful in your growth? And ask good questions like that so they can think about, okay, what was most important to me? Or questions like this, if you had to give me two bits of advice on how I could get out of my head and into my heart when I communicate with people, what would those two bits of advice be? Isn't that cool? And just get really, see how defined that question is? So if you're one of these people out there that's all analysts, you're all in your brain instead of your heart, those are the kind of questions you want to ask so that the presidential can look at you and say, wow, that's a cool question. Let me think about what I would think are the two. Because then they'll start digging into their brain about what they experienced in their life, what were the most important things that happened. And there, a lot of us go back to, you know, our first year in network marketing. Total disaster. You know, I think I signed up one person in the first 6 months. Now, that's not something to go brag about, but, you know, we can look back and say, what transitioned me out of that into creating what I've created? And that's what I can help people with. So those are the kind of questions you can ask. So ask specific questions or maybe specific advice around tools that they use that were helpful for them. Number 10, after you meet, send a letter of gratitude. Always thank mentors or potential mentors. Thank them, acknowledging and appreciating the time and advice with the concept, I hope to, you know, be able to talk to you again. Next time, each in 11 is send them a note once a month just to follow up, acknowledging the advice they gave you and how you're applying it and that it's bettering your life. There's nothing a mentor likes more than to hear how they've impacted your life, that what they told you worked for you and created this result. That's going to really open them up to continuing in a mentoring relationship with you. And then after you do that, arrange to meet with them again, maybe on a monthly basis or a monthly email, whatever it might be, whatever you try to establish. And those are your 12 steps to building a mentoring relationship. So people, I can't emphasize it enough how critical it is to build mentors in your life and rely on the synergy that exists when we work together with people and always, you know, pick on somebody ahead of you. I can tell you my experience, I'll tell you one of my experiences in life besides law and all the other things I've done, but one area that was huge, that mentoring was gigantic, was the area of bridge. I don't know how many of you know bridge, the game of bridge, but I started playing bridge when I was in the mid-1980s. And I became a life master in a year and a half, which is some people spend a whole, they call it life master because sometimes it takes people a whole life to get there. But the way I did it was I took, I had a mentoring relationship with somebody who was much, much better. Of course, I was brand new, so I was really a terrific player. I got into a mentoring relationship with this person. And then I just, every time I played the game of bridge, I always asked to play with somebody who was far better than I was. I didn't care if I looked stupid around them. I just knew that my bridge ability would improve dramatically if I was that mentoring relationship. They were going to help my game grow. And that's what allowed me to achieve that result in a shorter period of time. So it's truly about life. Doing that every opportunity we have is surrounding ourselves with people of a higher caliber than we are in any of those areas of our life, in every area of our life, so that we can glean and learn from them and grow, so that we have that benefit of quote-unquote borrowing wisdom, okay? And the last put, the quote I put at the bottom of the page outline was, you are probably no more than six people away from anyone you want to meet, including your new mentor. And that came right out of the Power of Focus, Canfield's book. Okay, people, that's it, the value of mentors. Okay, anyone have any comments? Do I get anything from the field? Any last-minute comments? I know it's a little bit after the hour. Does it, is this valuable
Mary
for
Jo?
You guys? Yeah, go ahead.
Hi, Mary Jo.
Uh-huh.
This is Lou Ann and Michael Lehman. We had
Hey, Lou Ann. Yeah, I know, Arkansas,
yes.
Right? Yes.
We talked with Arlene and Joan yesterday on our call.
Uh-huh.
And they told us to ask you about Manifest.
Woo-hoo! Congratulations.
Yes. Yeah, I'm excited. So we were going to see about sitting in
Sitting in our group. So why don't you send me an email? Can you do that? And we'll see if we have, I don't know, it's hilarious. You know, historically we have had cancellations like last year. Every year I've done Manifest tickets, we've had some cancellations. And this year we've had like none, which is huge. But send us an email, Luann, and we'll try to see if we have some seats
available. Hey, I think Michael sent Lydia an email last night.
Great, great, great. We'll work on it. Okay?
Joe.
We're excited about seeing you there.
There
you go. I'm excited about... You know, we should tell people what you're going to do a year from now.
Is there any part of Friday night we can bring people to for free, guests?
You know what? I don't know that. Is anyone on the call that knows that? I don't know if we have any presidentials that are aware of. I don't even know what Friday night. I haven't looked and examined.
Find out.
Anyone?
Can we find out?
I can find out. You know what? I'm going to put it down on my on here, and I'll send you guys an email, okay? Friday night guests, okay? We'll send that out. Got it. I will send an email out to you today on that. How's that? I'll find out. Okay, great. Anyone else? And what are you going to do between now and Manifest?
Mary Jo.
Come on. Okay, go ahead.
Mary Jo, what if you, everyone's trading tickets and stuff here at the last minute. what happens if you buy somebody's ticket and they've already bought it, so you buy it. What happens if they draw your number? I mean that number.
Probably prove that you bought it and bring your associate ID information that show. And I would, if you're going to buy somebody's ticket, I would get a letter from them saying that they're transferring the ticket. You got it?
Yeah, I'm just saying that up front because. That would be bad if someone paid the money for the ticket and then
you
lost
bet it would be bad. That's why I would have a written letter that says, you know, I bought this ticket from so-and-so, and you have them sign it so that they, or I sold my ticket. My name is so-and-so, my social ID. I sold my ticket to so-and-so for Manifest. And they have them sign that so that you have a record that you, in effect, are registered for Manifest.
Yeah.
Then
yeah.
I think Manifest,
I just
then you know what you want to do? You want to come to me. If Manatech doesn't give you the $10,000, come to me and I'll represent you.
Okay.
Okay. Okay.
Okay.
But you can also contact Manatech and give them the information, and they will switch the information in their computers.
Well, I knew they did that before, and I just hadn't heard that this time.
They'll
and
do
I
it
just...
again. They'll do it again. Either way works. Either way works. Okay.
Thanks. Is
Mary Jo
in Scotland?
Is Mary,
oh, Mary Jo?
Is Manatech in Scotland?
Yes.
No, not that I know of. We're in England, but not in Scotland, I don't believe.
That's Great Britain.
Oh, Mary Jo. Is there such a thing as a certain fee that a mentor would charge, or they don't charge fees, or what should...
Most mentors don't charge. You well, can establish a relationship. When you start paying somebody in a mentoring relationship, I'm going to tell you, I think that shifts more to being a coach than a mentor. Does that
hey, what's the then what's the difference between the coach and the mentor then?
It really isn't tied to your results. A coach is. A coach is really more result-oriented. A mentor is somebody you tap into for wisdom and knowledge and information that you then take and apply in your life and move forward. A coaching relationship is somebody that's more tied to the results you're creating. They're more result-oriented. So in other words, if I were a coach to you, one of the first things I would say is, I want to see all your goals.
Oh.
You get it? You would report to me and tell me what your goals are, what are you going to create, da-da-da. And then I would sit down with you and I'd say, okay, now I want you to draft up strategies on how you're going to get there. And then I would hold your feet to the fire and accountability mechanism to make sure you achieve the results that you've committed to.
So you need a mentor and a coach.
A mentor is somebody that you're just tapping into to basically, you know, find more information and grow from their depth of experience and knowledge and, you know, and take in that information to apply to your life so you can grow.
So if a mentor charges, then they're not really a mentor.
Well, they can be. I mean, a mentor could choose to charge. There's no, you know, there's nothing that says they can't charge you, but, you know, I think that once there's a charge involved, there ought to be a tie-in to the results you create. Does that make more sense?
So you should have a coach and a mentor as well.
Exactly. Now
and what should a coach charge?
Coaches charge all over the place. I mean,
no, well, how do you know what's the right thing?
What the going rate is?
Yeah.
Boy, depends on what kind of relationship you have with them. I've seen coaches charge, you know, some of them charge by the hour, some of them charge by, you know, coaching periods. It's all across the board. It's just, I can't even give you a number because they're so all over the place. I looked at hiring a coach about a year and a half ago, and they were going to charge me, I think it was something like $300 a week.
Mm-hmm.
And I would have one-hour call with them and then be able to, but it was $300 a week. So, but I've seen them much more expensive than that. I've seen them a lot cheaper than that. So it's really, it depends on where you are and what kind of coaching services you're looking for. So
you'd use the same principles to find the coach as you would with the mentor?
I think anytime you want to find a coach, you're going to find similar principles. You want to definitely define character. Because you're going to be looking, you have to have honor and respect for the person, otherwise the coaching relationship won't function properly, you know, and you want to have somebody totally competent that you believe that, you know, and capable of, you know, creating those results. You also want to, in a coaching relationship, you want to look at what kind of structure they're offering you. When I go out and try to find a coach, I go, okay, what are you going to demand of me? How are you going to hold me accountable? You want to understand their accountability and support system they have for you. See, in a mentoring relationship, you're not looking for that because the person's not going to be tied into your results. But in a coaching relationship, you want to clearly identify what their accountability is.
So if you don't get the results you're supposed to get and they're coaching you, then they're not worth it.
Well, I don't think so.
No?
Because it could be that you're not following their advice.
Oh.
Okay?
Well, coach doesn't give you advice, right?
What?
A coach isn't supposed to give you advice. They're supposed to catalyze you into getting.
There's no such thing as a coach not giving advice.
Oh, really?
A coach serves an advisory role to you. They're not telling you what to do. They're helping you achieve the results you're committed to. But they're going to open up and they're going to ask you questions, which are going to lead you on a path to take corrective action to create the results. But you know, some people, if you're not a good listener and you're not going to be receptive to moving, it's not the coach's problem.
Mm.
But a coach tends to take more, they're going to take more interest in the results you create. Does that make sense? So they're going to lead, guide, and direct you in a way to help you see yourself better and move forward in a way that's going to be more conducive to creating the results. Yeah.
The coachee needs to be willing to take the pressure or to respond to the to that kind of a
absolutely
coach.
You better be ready for support and accountability. And a lot of people aren't. They don't want to be held accountable.
That's true.
And if you don't want to be held accountable, then I would suggest don't go get a coach, because that's what coaching is all about, is accountability.
Thank you.
Got it. Okay.
Thank you, Rim.
You bet.
Mary Jo, I think it's the United Kingdom that we're in.
The United Kingdom includes Scotland.
Pardon?
Are we in Scotland?
Well, I believe the United Kingdom includes Scotland.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, it would be England. But I believe
okay.
that we should be in the. We're always saying the UK.
As well. Okay.
United Kingdom.
Mm-hmm. I just know I don't have anyone in Scotland in my downline, so I don't know. But maybe that's absolutely true. I don't know. I don't have the answer to that. Yeah. Okay. Thanks. Thanks, Anne.
You. It's me.
Okay. Any other questions?
Okay, right, people. So we are in Scotland.
We're in Scotland.
Yes.
Okay. There you go.
Part
There's
of UK.
A, there you go. It's part of UK. So UK,
yeah.
we open up the whole thing. Ireland, Scotland, and UK,
yep.
right? And
the
England,
whole deal.
Right?
We got the whole package.
We got the whole package, so St. Paddy's Day is coming up, so guys, you go blitz. Go green in Ireland, yeah. Anyone else?
Mary Jo, I just noticed the Manatech stock. It went down to 580 was the low, and it popped up. Is that normal?
Yeah, absolutely. Because you're getting a first blush reaction to the loss. And everybody bails. You're going to have some investment groups that bail out of the stock because they don't like the loss. And then what's going to happen is people are going to think, like you and I, are going to look at $5.80 or $6, and they're going to say, wow, that's a great price to buy it at because, you know, it looks like it's going to go bounce back up. This is just a temporary thing, blip because of the earnings results published. So they start buying on just because it's an earnings response. And when those buyers come in because the price is so low, that's what forces the price to go back up again because you have a greater group of buyers. You have more buyers than sellers.
Will it go back down again, or will it stabilize?
You think I have a crystal ball, or what?
Well, I mean, I think you have experience in this. So.
I do have experience in it, yeah.
So I was curious.
If you're asking my advice around the stock, I think
not advice, but what your best
is a good price.
Your
I
best.
My best estimate today is I don't think the first quarter is going to be much better than the fourth quarter.
Uh-huh.
So what does that tell you? That tells you when the earnings results come out from the first quarter of this year, what is that going to look like?
Not going to be too good.
There you go. So if it's not going to be too good, that means come April or May, are we going to see yet another hit on the price of the stock?
Okay.
I don't know. I just feel, do you follow me?
Yeah, I follow you.
Until I really feel the sense that this, you know, that sales are starting to, you know, take off again, which I believe will happen. Post-manifest we always have. So I think the second quarter of this year is going to be dynamite. That's my suspicion. But I don't have a crystal ball. That's just my suspicion.
Yeah, no, I understand. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. You bet. Okay. All right, people, I love you all. Have a great week. And get ready for manifest. Okay, bye.
The moderator has disconnected. The